Dr. Venema is going to stir us up were shared up in Reverend Roots' portion, were filled up. So there's a lot of filling up, sharing up, stirring up. And we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to pick up the reading at verse 25 of chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke. It's the parable of the prodigal son, very familiar, where the father has two sons. The younger takes his share of the inheritance, goes to a faraway land in reckless living, spends all his money, finds himself in a famine, hires himself out, starving, comes to his senses, returns home in rags, and the father welcomes him, and a party, a celebration commences, starting at verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I've served you and never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. When this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you were always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother, your brother, was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." A look at what grace-filled means. Grace-filled Christian, grace-filled church. It reminds us perhaps of a container to be filled with something, a cup filled with coffee, a mug of root beer, a vessel filled with oil, filled with something, even a baby sippy cup. Even if people or churches aren't grace-filled, doesn't mean they're empty. They can be filled with something else, and not all of it good. A cup of conceit, a mug of misery, loneliness. You look at Luke 15, the familiar parable. The older brother's filled with something, and it's not good. And we know the story, so I'm not going to rehearse all of that, but we're going to start where the party begins, the celebrating, the ring of joy filling this house, and enter Mr. Sourpuss, the elder brother, the good one, the church-going one, the covenant-keeping one, the cleaned-up one, the responsible one, the combed one, the right one, that one. He refuses to go in. He learns what's going on. He's mystified. He's been busy doing his job, being responsible. He was in the field. He came. He drew near. The music, the dancing, the celebration. He calls a servant. "What's going on?" He said, "Your brother's come. Your father has killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound." He's learned what's up. He became angry. "This guy has hurt our house, hurt our home, hurt our business. This guy has wounded deeply my father, and he comes back and a party." He's angry. "I want no part of it. No thank you. What is this world coming to? This is all backwards. Seriously. Dad, what is wrong with you? He's filled with anger, that's for sure. He's not filled with grace. Dad immediately does something. He came out and entreated him. Dad, the father, came out to him. He won't go in, I'll come out to you. Entreats, pleads. Some translations, begs, urges. And what does he say? We don't know, but we know this. He replies, look. Look. Let me speak some sense to you, Dad. Look. These many years I've served you. I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I could celebrate with friends. Number one, I've served. Here's his charge against Father. I've been faithful. I've slaved. I've served. I've been responsible. Two, I'm obedient. I've done what you've asked. I've never disobeyed. Three, where's my reward? Where's my record? Where's my party? I've been doing the right stuff. He comes home and gets a party. Where's mine? Even a small one with some friends? Four. You're flat unfair and blind, Dad. You're flat unfair. You're duped. You're blind. When this son of yours, this one, comes home, wasting all this money on prostitutes, he comes home. And it's party time. This is a young man who doesn't know what grace is. I suppose he's never felt like he needed much of it. This is a young man who's not filled with grace. He's filled with anger and a lot more. Angry because when a stubborn, stupid, hurtful, lost, blind, family-shaming, parent-hurting, sinner, brother comes home and gets grace, he doesn't want any part of it. No thanks. And it's easy to see his problem. When you're grace-filled, you don't think you need to be first, that you need the party. When you're grace-filled, you know you don't deserve anything anyway. When you're grace-filled, you don't think you're better. When you're grace-filled, you're not looking for reward for doing the right thing and trying to serve in the right, obedient way. When you're grace-filled, you're not self-righteous. You're not jealous. You're not judgmental. You're not conceited. And you're not a party pooper. The older brother is all these ugly things. I'm better. I deserve a reward. I deserve recognition. I'm in the right. I judge things fairly. He's full of himself and won't join to welcome a lost brother home. But the older brother, you know, he wants to set Dad straight. That's the lousy one. That's the spendthrift. That's the foolish one. That's the immoral one. That's the broken one. That's the one that's embarrassed the family. That's the one who's humiliated us. That's the ingrate. Add it up, Dad. What are you doing? Now I know how I am. All of us want to identify with the younger brother and not the older one. And I suppose some of us here have made the younger brother's sort of mistakes and have come back in rags asking for God's mercy. But let's be honest. Most of us have been raised and lived as older brothers. We never went wild. We never shamed the family. We've always been doing the right thing here in church, worshiping God, nurturing our kids, working a living, doing it right. It's the right thing. We don't want to identify with older brother, but if we're honest, he's a lot more than like us, our guy, than we care to admit. And yet, this is the guy who's not grace filled. This is the guy who thought, okay, brother's home. Dad, throw me a party. Look, younger son. Celebration for older son who lives right, does it right, is responsible, has never dishonored me, disrespected me. Sit in the corner and watch the blessing that comes to those who do it right. Now, the older brother would have been game for that. Yeah, sure, he can come to my party. That's the point he wants his father to see. He's older, he's first, he's wiser, he's obedient, he's better. Better than he is. It's obvious. I'm the right son, the deserving son. I should get the party. He's the graceless son. And that makes us ask, what are we? And when I ask that, I'm not accusing. I'm inquiring. You know, you can ask a rhetorical question, do you? And it can be an accusation. Or it can be an inquiry, or it can be an invitation. I want us to look at ourselves and hear an invitation. We're not grace-filled if we think like the older brother. If our posture toward broken, messy lives that aren't cleaned up and polished and doing it right and staying in the right and on the right path, and if they do come along, sit in the back and learn. No party for you. If we think like that, we're not grace-filled. And indeed, we are older brothers. Our vision as a church is to not be that. We don't gather to be that. We're not doing church like a country club membership to be like that. And yet some of us have been taught like that. And maybe even raised like that. And in that sense, we're still little infants. And that's not to reject you, because that's not what the Father does. He goes out to His other son. He entreats. He invites. He doesn't push him away. God doesn't push us away with our older brother attitudes. He invites us to come join the party. Notice what the Father does. Now, you want to see what grace-filled is? Here it is. We see it in what the Father does. He said to him, "Son, my son, you're always with me. You're still a son. My son. My treasure. I love you. You're always with me. I haven't rejected you in welcoming him. I've always thought you were on the same side. You need to join. What has happened here? All that is mine is yours. You haven't lost any inheritance. You haven't gone down any notches in God's kingdom with my generosity and love and mercy and grace. You haven't lost position or station. You're included. You're embraced. You're my son. Even with your graceless attitudes, cease, come. A grace-filled father teaches a graceless son about grace. It's to teach us. Jesus doesn't speak it just to Pharisees and Sadducees. That's the beginning of chapter 15. Because Jesus welcomed undesirable and detestable tax collectors and sinners and let harlots touch him. What a scandalous man. Away with him. Do we want to be Simon the Pharisee? Or do we want to be Christ-centered and grace-filled and loving lost people too? We know what the gospel is. And the Father shows them that. You're always with me. It's mine. It's all I have is yours. And it's fitting to celebrate. It's not a matter of a command. It's not a matter of duty. It's not a matter of, well, here's another hoop I have. Here's another thing I have to go slaving after to follow Jesus. It's none of that. It's like breathing. When a sinner comes home, you celebrate. And that's what he means. It was fitting to celebrate. We had to. There's no options here. It's natural. To celebrate and be glad your brother was dead. He's alive. Lost. He's found. I suppose in most of our families, certainly extended families and beyond, there's lost souls that maybe you've given up praying for. And maybe you've developed elder brother attitudes toward. Good riddance. The ingrate. He's such an embarrassment. If you think that way at all, please check your heart. Because the invitation stands open here. We don't know if older brother joined in. We're not told. Because it's designed to still call Pharisees and scribes to welcome lost sinners. It's designed to speak to us. What are we going to do? Grumble? Where's my party? Dad is too generous. Grace is too free. Then why do you call yourself a sinner when you don't mean it? And why would you think someone has to be sanctified before they can be justified? You say that's terrible theology. Don't Roman Catholics teach stuff like that? You get yourself right enough and God says you're okay. And then that's what we do. Get yourself right enough. Watch my party. Stand in the corner. Fix yourself up. Change. Be right enough. And then I'll maybe get my arms around you. It's not what Jesus does. While we're yet sinners, even elder brother style sinners, self-righteous sinners, graceless, filled with conceit sinners, he dies for us, welcomes us, calls us. The vision statement for a church and a service like this is meant to encourage and challenge and make us reassess ourselves. The Father is not going to budge. Complain all you want, older son. I'm going to be merciful. I'm filled with grace and I'm going to administer the same to my family, to your brother. Your brother. He's safe. He's sound. I thought he was dead. He's alive. He's your brother. And so we go back to the cup. What are we filled with? Country club religion, I like people who are just like me. If you're not like me, then ugh. Elder brother conceit. I do it better. I deserve the party. I've kept my nose clean. I've never caroused and sinned like this terrible younger brother. Now here's the thing. Even a younger brother brought home over time can start having received so much grace, can become in his attitude an older brother. The Father shows us what we're to be. With arms entreating a lost world in its horrible, broken wokeness that needs true great awakening. A broken world filled with hate, with no mercy. Cancel you, you're done. Perhaps this is an opportunity for the church to show what real love, real mercy, real grace, real welcome is really all about. May we be that kind of church by God's grace. Amen. Lord, minister your word to us. We're thankful for this service. May we see our own need for grace, be filled with grace, filled with love, filled with gratitude, and thus practice it toward others to your glory. For Jesus' sake, amen.